the lapel mic. I caught up in conversation and forgot all about it. Thanks for being here today. My name is James. I'm the pastor at Connect, and I'm glad that you're here to worship with us and to hear from God today. And if you would, just take that bulletin. There should be one in the chair in front of you. We'll talk about it just a second. If you're a first-time guest with us, if you're first time here, we're glad that you're here. If you would just rip off that bottom portion of that bulletin, and it's got a place for you to fill out your contact information. If you drop that in the offerings box on your way out, that'd give us a record of you being here and allow us to communicate with you and let you know about events and ministries that we have coming up and ways that we can serve you, and also give us a record of you being here. That'd be great. For all the rest of us, there's announcements on those. We'll talk about that at the end of the service, but on the back of that, if you'll flip that bulletin over, there's some prayer requests. And you can find these on our website, too. The web address is right underneath them. And just a place where you can go and see the prayer requests that we have as a church, and you can pray over them through the week. And we're going to pray over them right now. If you have things that you'd like for us to pray with you about, we'd love to do that. We've seen God answer prayers in miraculous ways, wonderful ways. And so we believe that He hears us and He answers our prayers. His Word says we can cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So we're going to go to Him in prayer. Daniel's going to lead us in prayer. We're just going to pray through those requests. Daniel, if you'll come, and if you would, bow your heads with us as we pray.
Let's pray. Dear God, we love You and thank You for everything that You do for us. And I thank You for this opportunity for us to come here and sing praises and worship and fellowship and learn about Your Word. Like James said, we can cast all of our cares before You. So that's what we're going to do here this morning. I pray for Linda's sister with having some problems with her marriage. We know that there's no problem too big for You, God, so I pray that You could just have Your hand on that situation. And for Ann's student that has family problems, same thing, Lord. There's no problems that are too big for you to handle, so I just hope that they could find strength in You and realize that You can solve every problem. And for her student with a heart condition, we know that You have a special place in Your heart for children. So if it's Your will, I pray that You could heal him and help him with his heart. I pray for Sarah Anderson's father that in his job search that he could find something that brings him joy and fulfillment. And for her sister-in-law with her husband who's in the military, I'm sure that absence that he has can put a great strain on the marriage. So I just hope that You can help them through that situation. For the Ropers, I pray for Michael's health and peace in their home environment. And for Jennifer's mother's upcoming heart surgery, I just pray that if it's Your will that that could go smoothly and be a success. I pray for Mandy Baxter's friend, Mickey, who has throat cancer. If it's Your will, God, please just heal them from that, because we all know that cancer can be a huge strain on the person and their family. So please just have Your hand on them. And lastly, I pray for Macy Fowler, that with her future coming up, that You could just guide her and help her to find Your wisdom for her life and figure out what Your plan is for her. Dear Lord, we love You. Thank You for all that You do for us. And have a great
amen. Amen. Thank you. I know that right now we're in a kind of transitional state. We are looking at moving this wall out and adding some more seating, and that'll come very soon. It's a blessing that God is reaching people, and He's moving people here to be part of Connect Church. But we realize this can be a little bit cramped today. And so if you get to feeling like this is a little too tight for me, we run a video overflow in the next room there where the donuts and things are. If you'd be more comfortable over there, you're welcome to slip out during the songs and go over there if you'd like. But thanks for being here today. Continue worshiping with us.
As James said, it's exciting knowing that, reaching out to the community and making a difference. And that's the reason why we're here. And this next song, I Will Follow, it speaks towards that, is that whatever happens in our lives, we make decisions whether or not we want to follow Him or not. The choice is ours. And let's lift this song up and just keep that in mind and ask ourselves, am I willing to follow? Am I willing to give and sacrifice everything for just reaching someone? because we're talking about eternity. We're not talking about here and now. We're talking about eternal things. I'm willing to do that, and I hope you are too.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Let's stand and worship together.
Glory and power forever. Trial.
this time and greet somebody, find somebody you don't know and say hello.
All right, you guys can have a seat whenever you get done. I've got a video that I want to show to you, and it's going to kind of describe what we're going to talk about today, so we'll let Jay roll it.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
So what we're talking about today is reversing your thinking. It's changing your mind, what the Bible calls renewing your mind. Whether you know it or not, the ways of this world that you were born into and that you grew up with and you learned everything about life, most of it's wrong. And so today we're going to see the second step in real change. We're in the middle of this series from Ephesians chapter 4, so if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, there's probably one in the seat somewhere close to you. You can grab that. If you don't have one, we encourage you to take that home with you and use it and read it. That's God's way of talking to you. Today we'll learn that that's the way He's going to change your mind. That So real change, we talked about, we've condensed this. We don't usually do things in 3-week series. That's pretty short for us. But we've tried to compact this down to 3 weeks that you can identify with, that you can be here for all of them and get this. Last week we talked about the first step in having real change in your life is stopping the cycle of sin. We learned that sin, it's not just a behavioral problem. It goes deeper than that. It's a mind problem. And it starts with the way you think. But even deeper than that, it's a heart problem and who you are. But those are cyclical in the fact that what you do affects who you are, affects what you think, affects what you do, affects who you are, what you think, what you do. It keeps going and keeps going. And your sin begins to define you, and it's a terrible, destructive catch-22 that leads you down a downward spiral. That's what sin is. So at some point you have to, what we learned last week, stop it. Just stop it. You have to stop that sin that's just destroying you. Hebrews call it the sin that so easily besets you. Today we're going to tell you the next step. I'm glad you're here today. Because just that one thing, just stopping it, can never fix the problem. The next step, you need all three of these. The next one is you need to renew your mind. So if you have your Bible, you got to open to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're not sure where that is, there's a table of contents in the beginning to help you find Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 20 through 23. And it says, after talking about our past life and how the ways of the world are sinful, verse 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This next step is about changing your mind. If you want real change, you have to change the way you think about things. You have to change your mindset and your ideology about things. And the Bible calls this word repentance. Sometimes we think of repentance like I'm saying I'm sorry, that's repenting, or feeling bad about what I did is repenting, but that's not repentance. Repentance in the Bible is a change of mind that leads to a change in life. It's not just saying I'm sorry, God, for what I've done, I don't ever want to do this again. It's doing something about it. It's changing your mind in a way that changes your life. And that's easier said than done, right? It's tough to do. We're going to find out today exactly how to do that. And so let's just jump into it. The first thing is you need to know the truth. Three things. You need to know the truth. And he says in verse 20, but you have so learned Christ. All the different times that he speaks about the mind here. If you just checked out verse 20, he talks about learning Christ. In verse 21, he talks about you've been taught by him. In verse 23, he talks about renewing the spirit of your mind. This has to do with your mind. And the first part that he says is, you have not so learned Christ. Notice he didn't say, you haven't learned about Christ. He says, you haven't learned him. You know, if we were to ask you, who is Jesus? Tell me about Jesus. If you're like me, you might begin to tell us facts about him. Well, he was born in Bethlehem, right? His mother is the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He did miracles. He died on a cross. He rose from the grave. He's God, right? And those are all true statements. What all of those represent are facts about God. And anyone can learn about Christ but not be changed. What he's telling us here is you have not so learned him. It's like the difference between knowing someone and knowing about someone. A couple months ago, we talked about Tim Tebow, right? And we used him as an example, and Ann was really excited about that. Tim Tebow, you may know a lot of facts about Tim Tebow, right? And we talked about what some of those were. But does anybody in here, and maybe you do, does anybody know Tim? You know him? Good. I don't. That would be the difference between us. I know about him. I know lots of stats about his college career, his draft, what he did at the Broncos and what he didn't do at the Jets, and now he's going to be unemployed and all kinds of things. But I don't know him. And that's what he's talking about here. You have to know Jesus in a personal way, a personal relationship with him. It's not enough to know about him. You have to know him. In fact, the verse is going to be on the screen, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is talking about this with some religious people who knew a lot about him. but they didn't really know him. Listen to what it says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils? And have we not done many wonderful works? These people are doing some awesome things, and they're doing it in his name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The issue isn't you didn't do enough good works, and it's not that you didn't know enough about me. It's that you didn't know me personally. He said, I never knew you. And that's a situation that a lot of our quote-unquote Christian culture, that's where we find ourselves, where we know a lot about Jesus, but we don't know him personally. And my question for you is, do you know Jesus? Because check out this phrase, knowing the particulars about Jesus can never substitute for knowing the person of Jesus. You have to know him in a personal way. We talk about that starting at salvation. When you personally receive him into your life as your Lord and as your Savior, you're starting a relationship with him. That's how that begins, with salvation. If you've never had a time in your life, Jesus calls it being born again. If you've never had a time, an event in your life where you've accepted Jesus into your heart, real change is never, it's not even a possibility. It's only possible through learning Christ, through knowing him personally. Listen to what John 10:14 says. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. It's about knowing each other and having a relationship with each other. Listen, there's lots of people sitting in pews, sitting in chairs all across this country right now on a Sunday morning, and they don't know Jesus. They know about him, but they don't know him. Today, if you don't know him, you have an opportunity to receive him as your Savior and start that relationship with him. So my question is, do you know Jesus? But he goes farther. In verse 21, he says, you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him. And again, it doesn't say that you have heard about him. It says that you have heard him. Right? I was with a friend. I'm just going to call him out. It was Daniel. I was with Daniel yesterday. And he was showing me something on his tablet about his email, and I looked on there, and there was a bunch of messages from me, and they were all unread, and I was like, "Seriously, dude?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, sorry." And see, the problem was, I sent him a message, and it was delivered, but he didn't ever open it and hear what I'm saying, right? And we use that word the same way, right? We say, when somebody's not really listening, like every once in a while I'm guilty of not really listening to Stacy, right? And she says, you're not hearing me, right? It's not that I'm not recognizing audible sensations in my ears. It's that I'm not receiving her communication and listening to it. And that's the way the Bible uses that word. Matthew 11, verse 15, Jesus is telling parables. And later on in Matthew 13, he's going to explain why that is. But he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's some people that you're hearing, but you're not really hearing me, you know? And that's the way it is with Jesus. You can hear physically, but your spiritual ears are deaf. And you're not listening to what he's saying. You have to hear him. This is another one. Matthew 13:13 says, therefore, I speak to them in parables. I don't know if you know this or not, but lots of times people think Jesus spoke in parables to reveal truth. But in actuality, Jesus spoke in parables to conceal truth from people who weren't going to believe it anyway. That's what he says. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. He said, they're not really listening. I mean, they're getting my emails, but they're unread. They're just sitting in the inbox. And when you hear Jesus, he means listen to what I'm saying and receive it as truth. That's what he means. And so you have to hear Jesus. Again, this isn't hearing about Jesus. This is hearing from Jesus. John 10:27, close to what he said earlier, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you hear Jesus? I'm not talking about something that's spooky, like, Oh, did you guys hear that? That's not what I'm talking about. How does Jesus speak to us? Well, we know that John chapter 1 and verse 1, it's on the screen, says that Jesus is the Word. He uses that capital W, so you'll know. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he jumps down to verse 14, and he says, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, that Jesus is God, and he is called the Word of God. That he is the Word. And so if you want to hear what Jesus is saying, it means open up his message that he sent to you and receive it as truth. That's what it means. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, and back it up, verse 1 and 2, they say that in time past, God spoke in lots of different ways to the fathers, right? As we know, some of the ways that he talked to him. He talked to him through a burning, took Moses through a burning bush, right? He talked to some people through angels. He talked to some people through an audible voice. But he says in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, by Jesus, who is the Word of God. If you want to hear the message from Jesus, if you want real change, you got to know him personally, and then you got to hear his message. Not just sitting here, James is talking, and I'm kind of listening. But listen to what Jesus is saying. It means get into this book and hear what he is saying. The next part, we got to keep moving. In verse 21, he says, you have to know him personally. You have to hear him. And then he says, and have been taught by him. Again, we make the distinguishment. He's not saying be taught about Jesus. He's saying be taught by Jesus. And what this means is letting Jesus teach you about life. Let his word tell you what life is all about. Let his word tell you how to live and what you should do with your life and what you should not do with your life. Let him teach you that. We've learned, we've been taught about life from the time that we were young kids and we grew up. And one of the things that we learned, we talked about this last week, just use this in the illustration. One of the things we learned is if a kid punches you, you got to stand your ground, right? You punch him back. You're not going to be pushed over. Because if you do that, every kid is just going to keep bullying you, right? And that sounds right to us. That resonates with our culture, that that's the way we do things. But remember what Jesus said? He said, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. Now, that does not go well with what we feel, right? And it just shows us that our way of thinking has to be reversed. Forget what seems right in your head. Forget what mom and dad and granny and grandpa and the kindergarten teacher and my college professors or anybody else have ever told me. It doesn't mean anything. What matters is what this book says. And if what they say lines up with this book, awesome. If it doesn't, we have to choose to be taught by him. That's the decision. If we're going to have real change, we're going to have to allow God's word to teach us how to live. 2 Timothy 3:16 is on the screen. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And check this out. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine is that the truth of God's word. And the word of God is profitable. It can tell you all kinds of truth about who God is and what the church is and what God's mission is. But it's also for reproof. That's, you're doing this wrong. Correction, this is what you need to do to get it right. And instruction in righteousness, this is how you need to live to keep it right. It's profitable for all that. I got a nice ring going up here, you know? Yeah. All right. That's what it's about, is being taught by him. So having a personal relationship with him, listening, hearing what his word says, and then letting it define what our beliefs and our actions are about. We're talking about overcoming sin. What does this have to do with it? What it means is you've been told some lies about your sin. I don't know what sin it is. We talked about it last week. It's a sin that so easily besets you. It's some area where you just keep falling to this sin, and no matter how hard you try, it just seems like you can never beat it. It always beats you. And you try to change and you're right back where you were, or maybe even worse. How are you going to overcome that? You need to get into this book and find out what God says about it. Whatever that sin is, there are some lies that we've been told. And we've got to find out what the truth is. In fact, that's what the next sentence says in verse 21. It says, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. And we know John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's important to know, that God's word is the truth. But check out the front part of that phrase. Sanctify them through thy truth. That's the way that you're going to experience real change, is by the word of God. That's what sanctify means. It means to cleanse, to make holy, to set apart for God. If you're going to have real change, it's going to come from the word of God. That whole passage, as you see verse 14 has come up there, the whole passage of John chapter 17, it's all about a prayer that Jesus is praying for his disciples. And as he prays to God the Father, the subject that he's on is, God, I know they're in the world, and I don't want you to take them out of the world. I just want you to keep them from the evil of the world. And it says, as he's praying, he's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. If you want them to change, if you want to be different from the world, it's going to be through the truth of the word of God. Look at verse 14. This is Jesus' solution to it. I have given them thy word. And then he explains that now the world hates them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, if you want to be different, it's going to take getting into the word of God. One last place I want you to see about this, John chapter 8. Verses 32 through 34. You probably know this first verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? Awesome promise. What's the context in which he's saying that? It's about sin. And they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed. These are Jews saying, hey, we're Jews, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? We don't need to be made free. And Jesus tells them what he's talking about. Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said, you guys are in bondage to sin. You are the slaves of sin. And you can't get away from them. They're ruling your life. And so the truth is what's going to set you free from that sin. See, you've got to know the truth. If you're going to experience real change, you're going to have to start listening to God's message, opening it, receiving it as truth. Then you're going to have to let it define what you believe and how you live, because it is the truth. The next thing you need to do is recognize the lies, and that's the next verse, verse 22. And we're not going to spend too much time on this because this is what we talked about last week. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. What in the world does that mean? Put off the former conversation, the old man. A conversation is a lifestyle, right? We talked about that. It's Ephesians 2, 3. It says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. It's not just a verbal exchange he's talking about. He's talking about your lifestyle. And he says, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath. He's talking about your lifestyle. Was a sinful lifestyle before you came to Christ. And so that conversation is what he's talking about. Your old lifestyle, put it off. Like an old pair of jeans and a shirt, something that gets really dirty and nasty and filthy and stinky, take it off. And later we're going to see he tells you to put on some new. That's for next week. So put on the new man. But right now he's saying take that old person that you used to be and get rid of it, right? And I've got here in my pocket. I love these. You got to have these if you got a kid. These are Band-Aids. You got to have some Band-Aids when you're kids, because sometimes, even if there's not a problem, they want a Band-Aid, right? Oh, I did this or that, you know. And so we put a Band-Aid on it. But you know, a lot of times, a Band-Aid is not really the best solution for a problem, right? If you've got an infection, you think, man, I'll tell you what I'll do. Stick this Band-Aid right there on it. Nobody will see it. And you know what? I got a pretty big infection. I'm going to use two of them. Because these Band-Aids are pretty small. Sometimes we think that'll just fix the problem right up, right? Because if you can't see it, it's not there, right? Out of sight, out of mind. If I can't see the problem, there's not a problem. That's what we think. You know what? None of us would say that. But that's really what we think. That's why when you go to the doctor and you say, I got a sinus infection, and he gives you some amoxicillin or some other kind of antibiotic, and after about 2 or 3 days, you feel pretty good. So what do? You stop taking the amoxicillin, right? I don't need it because my symptoms are gone. But what happens? Another 2 or 3 days? Oh, the symptoms are back and the infection is worse. And a Band-Aid just covers up what's on the surface. Now listen, I can't tell you how many times, I used to be a youth pastor, I can't tell you how many times somebody would bring their child to church. Now they haven't been in church in a long time, maybe ever. And they say, man, my kid's really going through this. Well, let me tell you about the problem my kid's having. I'm going to bring them to church. And that's a good thing to do. They need to be in church. And so the kid comes, and sometimes just by the grace of God, he intervenes in their life and he saves them and he changes their life. And then the symptoms go away. And what happens to that parent? I'm not there anymore. Why? Because my symptoms are gone. And there's a lie out there saying if you'll just make it, take care of the problem out there and just cover it up, it's going to be okay. And what we're seeing here is you've got to do more than just know the truth. You need to recognize those lies. That former conversation, the old man that he's talking about is it's on the screen for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul contrasts what he calls the first man and the second man, or the old man and the new man, as it's written here in Ephesians. And he says that the first man is Adam. And so he goes through a little bit, and he calls it the first man was made a living soul. So Adam was a living soul. And he said how the last Adam, or Jesus, was a quickening spirit. So he's not just alive, he has the power to make people alive. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So the Adam, the natural man, the first man came first. Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, right? That's the way Adam was made, from the dust of the ground. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He's Jesus. So as he talks about putting off the old man, and we'll see next week, putting on the new man, he's saying, put off that old man. That's Adam, his sinful nature that you inherited. When you were born, no one had to teach you how to sin. You already got it. And you knew how to lie. You knew how to push. You knew how to bite. No one taught you how to do that. Your sin nature that you received from Adam allowed you to do that. And he's saying, get rid of that. He's going to tell us, put on the new man. But that's what he's talking about. That old man is that old nature. And he says it's corrupt, or it's rotten and decaying. It's disgusting. Just look at it for what it is. The way that you used to live, it's sinful and it's corrupt and it's nasty. And then I want you to see this last part. Verse 22, he says it's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, lusts are like that. They're deceitful. They tell you some lies. They say, hey, you got this under control. It's not that big of a deal, right? Maybe your lust tells you just this one time. Or maybe this is the last time, and then I'm going to stop, right? Your lust will tell you whatever they need to tell you to get you to do it again. They're deceitful. And they're tricky. And it's hard for you to know what's the truth and what's not the truth. That's why you've got to open the Word of God and see what's truth. They'll tell you it's no big deal. They'll tell you everybody's doing it. They'll say there will be no consequences. No one will ever find out. It won't lead to anything else. It'll stop right here. All those are lies. And if you get into God's Word, every single one of those lies is confronted with truth in God's Word. But you've got to start recognizing that they're lies when you start receiving the truth and decide to believe the truth. And that's the last part, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew means to make new, to restore to the way that it used to be, right? And he's saying you need to restore your mind back the way that God made it. Back when He made you a new creation and put that new nature in you, that new man, you started believing some of those lies again. And He's saying, it's like the deceitful lusts get our minds so out of whack that we actually believe what this world says. We think that to keep things, we have to hang on to them. But Jesus, He says the opposite. If you want to get, you have to give it away, right? And those things are so foreign to us. They're the opposite of what we think. But we have all these lies that constantly move us to this old man. And we have to renew our mind back to the way God has it. That is the way that you're going to experience real change. The second step. It starts with stopping that cycle of sin, because this is going to take you down farther and farther, and its grip on you gets tighter and tighter, and so you have to stop it. Some of you this week, you've tried to stop. I've talked to a couple of you. Some of you, it's been, I made it through the week, and I've stopped that thing. I haven't even gone near it. And some of you, it's already been a struggle, right? And that sin that so easily besets you this week, you tried to stop it, and it just would. And I felt bad last week for just giving you the first step, stop it, because you can never make it off that first one. It takes changing your mind, because as we learned last week, your mind affects your behavior. The way you think affects what you do. And so the next step is changing the way that you think. That's really key. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is on the screen that says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, but be transformed. How are you going to get transformed? How are you going to have this real change? By the renewing of your mind. When you get into the truth of God's Word and let Him define what you believe and what you do, that is renewing your mind. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, it talks about this old man and new man. It says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created Him, after Jesus. It's renewed in the knowledge of Jesus. That's not a one time on Sunday. Boom. Today, from now on, I'm good. I've changed my mind. Because those deceitful lusts will have you believing a lie again. It's not a once a week deal. I'll come on Sunday, and every Sunday I'm going to renew my mind. That's an everyday thing. One last verse for us, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says the inward man, or that new man, is renewed. How often? Day by day. It's a daily deal of getting into God's Word and letting His Word get into you. Allowing Him to change the way you think by accepting what He says is truth. Listen, maybe you've tried before to get into God's Word and you just said, I don't get it. I'm not getting anything out of this. I know. That's the way it is. Because when a baby is born, God always provides a mother, right? And the baby needs the mother to process the food and give it to her or him in a way that they can receive. And a Christian baby is no different. When you're born again, you're born a baby, and you need somebody to break it down for you and process it and give it to you as milk. It's what 1 Peter 2:2 calls the milk of the Word of God. And if you've never had anybody say, I want to help you grow in your faith, then on your little bulletin, you can mark, I'm interested in participating in a discipleship group. That's what that is. It's to help you to begin to grow. And you'll be surprised, after a month or two, I'm getting this for myself. And God is teaching me as I read His Word, and I'm understanding it. This is amazing. Yeah, it is amazing. It's a miraculous thing that God teaches us through His book, but it's not weird. It's not unusual. That's just the way God does it. If you're interested in that, you can sign up for that on your bulletin and leave it in the offerings box on the back. Maybe today you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you need to start that relationship with Him to know Him personally. That's where it starts. But real change, we've covered two steps. You have to stop the cycle of sin, and you have to renew your mind. Change the way that you think by getting into this book. Father, I love You. And I thank You that as You've commanded us to change and not be like the world, We believe that your Holy Spirit will give us the power for real change. God, thank you for what you're doing in this room. There are those who have struggled with the same sin for years of their life, maybe decades of their life. And we believe your word, that you can set us free, that the truth of your word will set us free. So I pray for those that are in here. I pray that you'd give them understanding as they read your word. Help them to see with spiritual eyes. Help them to be obedient, to get into your word, and give them the courage that some of them need to get involved in a discipleship group and let someone lead them in a relationship with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you'd say, I know 100% for sure, I know Jesus. I remember the day when I received him as my Savior and I started a relationship with him. If you would just slip your hand up and you just raise it for just a second, that is awesome. Praise the Lord. A lot of you, but not all of you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know that I've ever received Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I've ever started a relationship with him. Maybe I even know facts about him, but I don't know him. And I want to. I want him to change my life. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. If you just slip your hand up, and you can take it right back down. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else that would say, I don't know that I've ever been born again or saved. I've never started a relationship with Jesus, but I want to have one. Pray for me. You just raise your hand and take it right back down. Father, I pray for the hands that were raised. I thank you for those who have already received forgiveness of their sin. Help us to walk in that. God, I pray that you would help us to live in the freedom from sin that you gave us by putting on this new man and renewing our mind. God, for those who don't know you as Savior today, I pray that today they would talk to somebody, that they would find a friend, that they would find someone that they could talk to find out how they can have a relationship with you. God, it is the most important decision they'll ever make. I know that, so I pray that you'd give them boldness to do that. Thank you for the work you're doing in their heart. And for all of us that need change, God, help me. Help all of us to change the way we think, to get into your word and let it define us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I have one more verse I'd like to share with you. And maybe this can just kind of be your prayer as you go through the week. I couldn't get over it. It's Psalms chapter 51. In verse 10. And what's going on in Psalms 51:10 is David has sinned. And he's done a really bad sin. He's committed adultery. And not only that, he went and killed the husband to cover it up and married the woman. And now when God confronts him with his sin, he realizes this is way bigger. This is costing me more than I want to pay. This is taking me farther than I wanted to go, kind of thing. And so he prays this prayer, and this Psalm 51 is a great prayer. Maybe you just want to check that out. If you're struggling with sin and you're looking for a way just to come to God and in his own words describe how you're feeling, maybe Psalm 51 would be a place you could do that. But verse 10 has been meaningful for me this week. It says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That's what we're looking for today, to renew our mind. Michael's going to come. He's going to give us some quick announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. Thanks for being here, but don't miss next week because both the first two steps are going to fail miserably if you don't get the third.